This morning I want us to consider from God's Word the importance of honoring Christ, honoring Jesus in our life. And these things have been on my mind recently because of my study with this subject of Mormonism, that in studying that and looking at that, I was taken back by a couple of statements that were made. For many years, Mormon leaders have said that the Book of Mormon has brought people closer to God than any other book that has ever been written. And they have said that Joseph Smith has done more good than any other man who has ever lived. And when I read those things and thought about those things, I thought about the importance of getting back to honoring Christ. If we're not careful, we can exalt a man over Christ. And I think about our Catholic friends who bow down to the Pope and kiss his ring. And I remember when there was a change of popes just a few years ago, there was some news stories about that. And one time he got out of his protected motorcade there at the Vatican. And when he got out, there were some cardinals and bishops that bowed down on the ground and kissed his feet. And, you know, I think about that kind of thing, and I'm reminded of how that we can forget, if we're not careful, who really is to be exalted in our life, and that is Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want us to remind ourselves of John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, if you'll turn with me there. John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We need to honor Christ in our life. Now, I understand that in the Bible, the word honor is used in different scenarios and situations. For example, honor your father and your mother. That was one of the Ten Commandments. And it shows up in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. I understand that. And there are different individuals that are described as giving our honor to them. But we're talking about in our relationship to God, Christ is exalted over all. And in John chapter 5, verse 22, for neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. And so if we really want to honor God, we need to honor Jesus Christ. And what we're talking about is reverencing and respecting Him. The word honor literally means to fix the value at a high price. It was used in the Bible of even just putting a price on something. If you were selling something at a market, something that was prized, gold, silver, precious metal, something that was valued at a high price, the word is used there. But it went on to mean to show great respect or appreciation for someone and to hold them as precious and dear. And that's, of course, what we're talking about with regard to Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful, we forget about that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Even in Jesus' day, in Matthew chapter 23, there were those who honored other men, and Jesus had to talk about that in Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 5, talking about the scribes and Pharisees, the important teachers among the Jews. But all their works they do to be seen of men, for they make broad their phylacteries. Those were the little boxes that they put on their wrist, and they would put little pieces of scripture in there. Or sometimes they might put it on their forehead. The reason they did that was because of Deuteronomy chapter 6. They took it literally when Moses said, "Let the law be as frontlets to your eyes." And so they would actually tie a little box on their forehead and put scriptures in there. They were called phylacteries. So they would make them big so that you could see those, enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the chief places at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Walk in, hey, look at me, give me praise and honor by what they wear. And to be called rabbi or teacher. But be not called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all of you are brethren. And call no man your father on earth, for one is your father who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even the Christ. So not just what they wear, more but what they wanted to be called. Teacher, father, master, look at my nice clothes, give me the best seats. And so there was this honoring going on, and Jesus has to remind them that we're not to give men that. And look at the context, verse 11. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. They wanted to be the great ones. And he whosoever is exalting himself shall be humbled. They wanted to exalt themselves. They wanted to be great, and they showed it in what they wanted to be called and what they wanted to be put on and wear. Christ is to be honored above all men. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. I've chosen Luke's account of what we call the Mount of Transfiguration because Luke gives the fullest of the account. And in Luke chapter 9, we are reminded that Jesus is to be honored. And we know that because of what Peter said later. We're going to look at Peter's statement later in 2 Peter 1:17. But look at Peter on top of the mountain here, and Jesus is transfigured. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 28, and it came to pass after 8 days after these sayings that he took him with him Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Peter's going to talk about this later in 2 Peter 1:17. But let's look at what happens here. So Peter and John and James are up on the mountain, and they go there to pray. And as he was praying, Jesus is praying, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became white as dazzling. The other accounts say that it was more white than any launderer could get a garment white. It was bright, dazzling white, but it changed miraculously. He didn't go put on some white clothes. His appearance changed. And behold, there talked with him two men who were Moses and Elijah. This was the great lawgiver, Moses, and the great prophet, Elijah. Okay, so these are great men. But Jesus is greater. That's what's going to be the point here. Moses and Elijah are great, but Jesus is greater. So they appear to Jesus in glory and spake of his decease or his death, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. There's some great men here. But Jesus, by his appearance and his glory, is shown by the Father to be greater. And it came to pass as they were parting from him, that is, Moses and Elijah were leaving, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make thee three tabernacles or tents or booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. He was probably just trying to be respectful for all three men here. And while he said these things, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. So it's all around them. Saying, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen, hear ye him. You listen to Jesus. He is the one that has the radiant, dazzling garment on. He's the one that you need to be listening to. Yes, Moses is great, Elijah is great, but Jesus is the one that you need to listen to. Now turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17, and let's see Peter's comment about this occasion. 2 Peter 1, 17. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That's verse 16, talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. And look at it, his majesty. Yes, Moses is fine, Elijah's fine, but it's the majesty of Jesus. For he, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when there was born such a voice to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice we ourselves heard born out of heaven when we were with him in the holy mount. Why is it the holy mount? This is just some hill here. But why is it? Because of what happened there. And what God said out of heaven to Peter, James, and John, and He received glory and honor when God said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And we need to be reminded of these things because Jesus is not just some ordinary man. I believe today many people know about Jesus Christ, but they do not honor him. As Paul said in Philippians 2, 9 and 10, they do not bow their knee to him. And this morning's lesson is to remind us to do that. To not just simply go through life kind of knowing about Jesus, but we need to honor him in our life. And we're going to see this morning how we can do that. Number one, it begins by obeying his word, not the words of men. Now, this should go without saying. However, when you look at our society today and you look like at the religious world today, many people are following the words of men and what man says and not what Christ says. Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Luke 6:46. Number one, if we want to honor Christ this morning, it's not just words we say. It's not just thoughts we think. We have to obey his word and not listen to the words of men. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15 and 21, 23 and 24, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," not the commandments of men. In studying recently with these Mormon, young Mormons, they talk about all kinds of rules that they have to follow. But they are man-made rules. Our Catholic friends have all kinds of rules to follow. Talk with Rob after the service. He was a former Catholic. He can tell you all kinds of rules to follow. But they're man-made. They're not in the Scripture. And sometimes they're so grievous to be born that sometimes they don't even follow them. Sometimes the leaders don't even follow them. You know, back in the Middle Ages, the Catholics had a rule that the priests were not allowed to marry and have sexual relationships. But behind the scenes, that was going on all the time with priests and bishops and other individuals and some popes. Yeah. So we make these rules, man-made rules, but we don't even follow them. And I'm not trying to single them out or our Mormon friends. That happens in all religions. There are many man-made rules that are outside the rules of Christ. If we want to honor Christ, we just simply do by his word. Colossians 3:17, "Whatever we do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Not what man says, but what Christ says and what his rule and his word is. That's how we bring honor to him. We're familiar with that passage. "Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord," but the very next part, "the Lord Jesus." It's by his authority. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. In contrast, Jesus had to talk with the Jews about following the commandments of men. The commandments of men. And that was going on in Jesus' day and it's still going on today. People would rather follow the words of men than the words of Christ. That's not honoring Christ. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 3 and 4 and 5, there were some Jewish leaders who had made a commandment not to take your possessions and help your parents with that. And they were dishonoring the word of God. And look at verse 6. "This people honors me," verse 7, "they honor me," 7, 8, and 9, "they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." And then we find in Titus 1:14 the commandments of men. We honor Christ by following his word, not the words of men. Number two, we honor Christ when we're out in our life. We go to work, we go to school, we're out in the community. We honor him by confessing him before men, not denying him, not acting like, "Well, I'm not a Christian." We stand up for the Lord. We stand up for what he represents, his word, his truth. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. When we're out and about, we are going to confess Jesus as Christ. We're going to tell others that we follow Christ, that we believe in Christ. We follow his word. We're not going to be ashamed of him. And when we get put into situations like Peter, as we're going to see in a minute, we're not going to deny him. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him I will also confess before my Father in heaven. You want to honor Christ? Confess him before others. Don't try to hide your Christianity. Don't try to act like it's not there. Don't try to act like you're not a Christian, but confess Christ before others. Yes, I am a follower. I am a believer. And I'm glad that I am. Why? Because we want in the judgment day the Father to confess us. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And when I was younger, I was guilty of that, where we don't want to truly stand up and be counted as a Christian. I hope I've learned and have matured. But we get put into situations. We get put into situations where we don't want to identify with Christ. That's not honoring him. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8 and 38. When we confess him before others and we do not deny him and we're not ashamed of him, we truly bring honor to him. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man also shall be ashamed of him when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And listen, we are in a generation that is sinful and adulterous. But we do not need to be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And sometimes Jesus' words run counter to what our culture is saying and doing. But we have to stand with Jesus' words and not be ashamed of that. That marriage is for one man and for one woman. Matthew 19, 4 through 6. That's Jesus' words. And I'm not going to be ashamed of that in a homosexual environment and other things like that. Turn with me to Mark 14. If we're not careful, brethren and friends, we can be like Peter, who got off by himself. And what do we find Peter doing on the night that Jesus is betrayed? He denies the Lord. And in Mark chapter 14 and verse 31, he said, I will not deny thee. And not long after that, he does it not once, not twice, but three times. And what that tells me is the pressure that can be put on someone when they're out by themselves. Here he's with Jesus. He's with the apostles. It's easy to say, oh, I'm not going to deny you. But when you're out on your own, at work, at school, yeah, out on your own, then it's a little harder, isn't it, you see? Out on a date, okay? A little bit harder now. We don't have Jesus and our friends right around us. We're with others. And so what do we find him in verse 72 doing? Denying the Lord three times. We talk about peer pressure or teenage pressure. Peter's not a teenager, is he? He's an adult, and he's with other adults. So it's not just pressure on teenagers and young people. All of us can be pressured if we're not careful. And so we honor Christ by confessing him, not denying him. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13. We find that some of the churches of Asia there are commended because they would not deny the Lord. They're living in a Roman Empire where Christians are being persecuted for their faith, and some of them would not deny the name of Jesus. And we need to be like that. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even as in the days of Antipas, my witness or martyr. You did not deny my faith. They're going to stand and be counted as a Christian. The same thing in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. Let us not be ashamed of him. We honor Christ by being a member of his church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, my church. There were no human denominations in the New Testament time. We have hundreds and thousands of religions today across the world. None of those things existed. Now, some of the things that we have today actually existed before the time of Christ, like Hinduism and Buddhism. Though Buddha lived before the time of Christ. Some of those things did. I'm talking about the denominations that we have today. The Lutheran Church, the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church. Those things did not exist. Jesus said, I will build my church. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus shed his blood for the church. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, the churches of Christ, the churches belonging to Christ, churches of Christ salute you or greet you. I bring honor to Christ by being a member of His church, not a member of the denominational churches that exist today. It's not a matter of just opening up the phone book and picking one and just whatever's close to the house or however I was raised or my friends go there or my family was raised in this denomination. No, we read our New Testaments and we go back and be like those New Testament Christians. We know that we are a member of the Lord's church when we do that. We do not bring honor to Christ by being a member of a man-made denomination. No, sir. And along those same lines, when we become a member of a man-made church, then we take on the name of that church. We do not bring honor to Christ. We bring honor to Christ by wearing His name. Turn to Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. The disciples were called Presbyterians. No. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They were not called Methodists and Presbyterians and Baptists and Mormons. We've been learning that Mormon was a leader, a man in America who fought battles around 400 A.D. Mormon. We're Mormons. No, we're taking on names that honor men. Luther, Martin Luther, a Lutheran. It honors a man and on down the line. Sometimes names honor men. Lutheran, Mormon. Sometimes names honor a practice. Baptist, baptism. Sometimes a name will honor an organization, Presbyterian. I'm a Presbyterian. Well, what is that? Well, in the New Testament, the presbyteros was the eldership. So I'm going to wear a name that focuses on a leadership position, or on an activity, baptism, or on a name, Mormon, Lutheran. And on down the line, it's everything but Christ. Just wear the name Christian. Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. We honor Christ by wearing His name, not the names of men. Those of you men here this morning who are married, how would you like it if your wife took on your name, your last name, and the last name of another man? How would you like that? I'm not talking about their maiden name. I'm talking about another name of another man. How would you like that? So Sherry Johnson Reeves. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't like that. But that's what we're doing when we say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm a Baptist Christian. I'm a Methodist Christian. I'm a Mormon Christian. I'm taking on the name of Christ and the name of another man. That doesn't bring honor to Christ. Let's just simply be a Christian. And that's all we are here. We don't take on any other names, because that's not what was done in the New Testament. We simply want to honor Christ by being a member of His church, not a church belonging to a man, by wearing His name, not wearing the name of a man. Do you know we honor Christ by taking the Lord's Supper as we've done this morning? We honor Christ by taking the Lord's Supper. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Some won't do that. And we need to think seriously about that. Jesus died for our sins, and we need to obey His word. We need to become a Christian. We need to become a member of the Lord's church. We need to wear His name. And we do that by being baptized into Christ. How do we become a member of the body of Christ or a member of His church? We simply let people know that we want to repent of our sins. We want to turn our back on our life, that old life of sin. We want to be baptized into Christ. Listen, it's very simple. You could do it this morning. You can do it right after the invitation song. You can do it later today. We could do it at any time. There's some water here. It doesn't have to be this water. It could be some other water. My mother was baptized in a creek. It could be some other body of water, just enough water to immerse someone. Myself or one of the other men will immerse you in water, bring you back up. That's all there is to it. We confess that Jesus is Lord with our mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10. We say that before others. We go down into that water. We come back up. It's that simple. And we could do that today. And I become a member of the Lord's church. I wear His name. I obey His word. That's how simple that is. And that's what we would encourage all of us to do. And when we do that, we're honoring Christ. And when we do that, each first day of the week, Luke chapter 22, we are to remember His death with the Lord's Supper. Luke 22, verse 19. And He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave to them, saying, "This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." It honors Christ when we remember Him. When our mind is set on Him, when we think about Him, "This do in remembrance of Me." And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29, the Corinthian brethren, some of them had taken the Lord's Supper and turned it into a social meal, a meal like we would have in our home, and they were not putting their minds on discerning, judging, thinking critically. That's what discerning is, the body and the blood of Christ. And so Paul had to correct that. But Paul said, as he's looking back, "I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of Me.'" It brings honor to Christ when we do that. And we don't need to neglect that. We don't need to say, "Well, that's not important. I can think about Jesus' death without taking that." It honors Christ by remembering Him. And the remembering Him is not just something that's in the mind. It's by eating that bread and drinking that cup. We bring honor to Christ. We bring honor to Christ by worshiping Him, not man. There was an occasion in which Jesus and His apostles are out on the lake, and there's a storm, and Jesus calms the storm. And we've been learning about one of those occasions this morning in our study of the book of Mark. But if you turn to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 33, after Jesus walks on the water, and Peter says, "Come, can I come out and walk on the water with you?" And he does that for a little while. He begins to see the waves, and he's starting to sink, and he cries out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and did that. And when they were gone up into the boat, the wind ceased. And they that were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." That would have been wrong to do if He were not deity. But being deity, that was the proper thing to do. But we don't worship man. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 2, you find there where Rome is symbolically described as a beast. And we're told by John in Revelation 13:2 that there are people in the Roman Empire who are worshiping the beast. Roman emperor worship, Roman religion worship, which was full of idolatry. Romans had all kinds of gods, just like the Greeks did. And they're worshiping the beast. They're honoring man. They're engaged in man-made religion. And we're told several times in the book of Revelation about those who worship the beast are going to be eternally lost. Those who worship the beast. That's what's going on today. We have all kinds of man being worshipped instead of Jesus Christ. Now, people might not literally bow down, but we've got movie stars and music stars and athletic stars. And, they're just gods, you know. They can do no wrong, you know. And they're just the greatest thing on the face of the earth. And we applaud them. And it's almost like we bow down to them. And Jesus Christ is shoved off to the side. Jesus, who's He? But such and such movie star and music star and athlete, whoa, you know, we praise them, we honor them, we applaud them. So-and-so's last game. So-and-so's last concert. So-and-so's blockbuster movie. And Jesus Christ is just, well, who's he? And so we need to get back to honoring Jesus Christ. We honor Jesus Christ by sacrificing for his name. Being a Christian sometimes means that we're going to have to serve and sacrifice, and we might have to go through some difficult things in our life, but it brings honor to Christ to do that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. We know that the early Christians who were in Jerusalem, they're being persecuted, and Peter and John are being thrown in prison for preaching for the name of Christ. And we find in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, when they're let out of prison, they therefore departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Underscore that in your Bible. What is the name? In my Bible, it's capital N. To try to get you to look back to Jesus. They had been preaching in the name of Jesus. And they counted that they were worthy to be to suffer dishonor for the name. And in every day in the temple and at home, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. They suffered dishonor for the name. And we need to be willing to do that. Somebody might poke fun at you. Somebody might belittle you. Somebody might call you names. And it might get worse in this nation down the road where it might involve imprisonment. Who knows? Turn with me to Acts chapter 15 and verse 26. There were members of the church who were willing to hazard their lives for Jesus Christ. Acts 15, 26. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an honor. That's an honor. To live and to die for Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 21 and verse 13. The apostle Paul was on his way to Jerusalem and he knew that he might be put to death there. And Paul said, "What do you, Acts 21, 13, weeping and breaking my heart, for I am ready not only to be bound but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus." And that needs to be our attitude today. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. We don't need to suffer because we're a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, a meddler in other men's matters. Verse 16, "But if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." It is an honor to sacrifice and serve and even die for Jesus Christ. And individuals have done that throughout time, and we need to make sure that we are instilling that in our lives, because a day might come when we might have to literally die for Jesus Christ. We're not going to be self-saving, self-securing. Matthew 16, 25, whoever saves his life is going to lose it. In other words, I'm going to stay over here and protect my reputation and protect my friends and protect my life, and I'm not going to stand out and be counted. I'm just going to hide and save myself. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go out. And there are those, James 2, 7, there are those who will blaspheme the name. Absolutely. But so be it. We're going to identify with Christ. And if it means suffering for Him, we will do that. And we honor Jesus by imitating Him only. Paul said, "Be imitators together of me as I also am of Christ." The world's not going to be my role model. No, sir. Jesus is. I'm going to talk like Him. I'm going to think like Him. I'm going to act like Him in all situations. And that's a lesson in itself. Just what would Jesus do in this situation? And we had that slogan years ago, "What would Jesus do?" It's a great thing to think about if we'll actually do what Jesus would do and not just let it be a bumper sticker or something on a shirt. Paul said, "It is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me." Every day I get up, I'm going to imitate Him. That's how I bring honor to Christ. Paul said in Philippians 2:5, let the mind of Christ be in you. Let this mind be in you. What mind? The New American, I believe, says, let this attitude be in you. Jesus' mind, Jesus' attitude. I'm not going to follow the world. That should be James chapter 4 and verse 4. That didn't make it on the PowerPoint there. I'm not going to follow the friendship of the world. I'm going to bring honor to Christ by imitating Him only. And then last of all, I'm going to honor Christ by being faithful to Him all through my life. As a Christian, I'm not going to drop the ball and partway through just give up and quit. The book of Hebrews is written primarily to Christians who were giving up on Christ and they were apostatizing. They were literally meaning to fall away. And so the writer of Hebrews encourages them to keep going all the way to the end, because when you give up, you don't honor Christ. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. Christ as a son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. We belong to Jesus Christ. We're a part of His house. But turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 6. What happens when a member of the church quits, gives up, becomes unfaithful, leaves the Lord, leaves the church? What happens? Well, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 6, they fell away. It is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Now look at it. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. That's not honoring Christ. When you crucify the Son of God afresh, like nail Him back up there on the cross, that doesn't bring honor to Him. No, that brings dishonor. And so we have to remain faithful. Because when we fall away, it is like crucifying Jesus over again. And so we have to remain faithful all the way to the end. Some people don't think about that. It's kind of like, well, you know, I gave it a good try, you know. And I gave it a good whirl there, and it worked for a little while, but it's just not for me. Look at chapter 10 and verse 29. When we give up, what is it? Who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God. When we sin willfully, we have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant, that's Jesus' blood, wherewith He was sanctified, an unholy thing. I don't care about Jesus and His blood anymore. I'm giving up. I'm quitting. Well, no, we're not going to do that, friends. We're going to be faithful all the way to the end. That's how we bring honor to Christ. Well, as we close this morning, let's honor Christ. I was taken back by those statements that there's no book on the face of the earth that brings you closer to God than the Book of Mormon. I was taken back by that. And to hear that no man has done more good for the earth today than Joseph Smith. Wow. We have lost sight of honoring Jesus Christ. It's time to give honor to whom honor is due. Borrowing from Paul there in Romans 13, verse 7. We need to give it to Christ. There's a picture of Christ around the throne in heaven in Revelation 5, verses 12 and 13, where John says that Jesus the Lamb is worthy to receive honor and power and glory. Let's give honor to Christ this morning. Maybe it needs to be with you by coming and just being baptized into Christ. Give honor to Christ. As Mason read around the Lord's table, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Honor Him by just simply doing what He says. And then we can know that we can get up each day by obeying His word, confessing Him before others. We're a member of His church, not any kind of a man-made church. We wear His name. We're not going to wear any other denominational kind of name. Worship Him, sacrifice for Him. Follow Him. Be faithful to Him. Bring honor to Christ. Like Paul said, we're bowing our knee so in the judgment day we can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If we can help you with honoring Christ and your obedience, come and let us do that. If we need to talk more after the service, if we need to talk in your home, if we need to study more and learn more, we just simply want to obey Christ and honor Him. And as a child of God, if we've been unfaithful in some way and others know about that and we want to come and pray together, we don't want to trample under our feet Christ and crucify Him afresh. by falling away. If we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and sing? Let us honor Christ in our life.